far, we've talked about keeping it simple with God 2 weeks ago. And then last week, we talked about keeping our own personal life simple. Today, we're going to look at keeping it simple with people. If you were to take any one of you today and bring it front and take everything off of your life, all of your titles, your accomplishments, your career, your possessions, your house, your car, everything that represents you, take it away. The irreducible minimum of your life is this: your relationship with God and your relationship with people. That's the bottom line. That's where life starts. And that is the continuum that we're to walk in to find the fulfillment that God created us for. And so we looked at that a couple of weeks ago about putting God first and just keeping it simple. How do you relate to God? What, through prayer and through the Bible, through truth. And for some reason, we humans tend to make that a little complicated. It was never meant to be complicated, relating to God and having a vital relationship with Him. It's really simple. If you didn't hear that message, go online and listen to it from 2 weeks ago. Last week, we looked at simple and happy. I want my life to be simple and happy. So here's the key. If you're going through life and you hit one of those walls, you're getting frustrated. You're feeling overwhelmed. You're feeling stressed out. Here's the key. You step back and you ask yourself this question: how can I simplify? What can I do to just adjust some things so I can bring some peace back to my life? And here's a couple things we looked at last week. We looked at finding the rhythm of life. The rhythm of life is just simply eating right, drinking plenty of water, and exercising, recreating, and the basics of life, this rhythm of life, that if we get that part of our life fixed, it brings joy and fulfillment. It makes life simple. And then we talked about removing clutter. I've gotten more comments than I think I ever have in 14 years about that one statement. So I got people sending me pictures of their clean closet. I did. I got texts all week long. This is my new closet. Yeah, I'm proud of you. Way to go, bro. So here's what we said about stuff, all the stuff we have. Three things you can do with your stuff to make life simple. Number one, you put it away properly. Number two, you give it away if you're not using it. Or number three, you just throw it away if it's not necessary. So we declutter our life and make it simple. Then the last thing we talked about last week, which I really love, is live in today. Not the I'll be glad when, I'll be glad when, I'll be glad when, I'll be glad when. We get off that treadmill and we live in today. The Bible says in Psalms, this is the day that the Lord has made. I'm making a choice. I will be glad and rejoice in it. God's with me today. No matter what's going on, today I'm going to enjoy my life. I just keep it simple and not get worried about the future. So we dealt with keeping it simple with God and then keep it simple with me. Now we got to deal with all the people. Keeping it simple with people. I want to read scripture to you in Acts chapter 2. This is the beginning of the church. This is when the church was born. And it tells us what the believers did in the beginning. It's really important because this tells us how we ought to live. Listen to this verbiage. It says, continuing daily with one accord, meaning they were in agreement, they were in unity, and they met in the temple, which would be their local church. And then they also went house to house, and they ate their food. They shared food and meals together with two things. They were happy. Everybody say happy. With gladness and simplicity of heart. Something happened to these new believers. They discovered a dynamic. They discovered a power in keeping life simple in relating to one another. It was so powerful that lives began to change. Marriages were healed. It formed the nucleus of the local church that spread around the world. And it happened in the context of community. People coming together with gladness and simplicity of heart, wanting to be together and experiencing the power of God that takes place as we come together. Another scripture for you, Philippians chapter 2. Paul the Apostle writes this. He starts churches around the world at the time. He wrote most of the New Testament that we read. And he traveled through the city called Philippi, and he started a church with a few people. He leaves, and sometime later, he's in prison, and he's writing letters to churches he had started. And he wrote a church to the church at Philippi, and we have the book of Philippians. The book is filled with expressions of joy. Here he is in chains in prison, and he's writing to this church, reminding them in all things to be joyful and to be happy. And then he says this to them. He says, if you've gotten anything at all out of following Christ, if his love has made any difference in your life, if being in the community of the Holy Spirit means anything to you, if you have a heart, if you care, then do me a favor. Agree with each other, love each other, and be deep-spirited friends. This is like a plea from God through this apostle who has a father's heart, who cares about the church, and he's pleading with him, would you make sure, if you have a heart, if you care, get into the community of the Spirit. That's where the life is. That's where the power is. That's where the life change takes place. Enter into this thing called deep-spirited friendship. That's our goal. That's our passion. That's what God's calling us to do. Is the whole point of simplicity we're talking about is to guard relationships, to guard relationship with God, and to guard relationships with each other. If any of us here are finding difficulty relating to people, I know no one here has this problem. If we're having problems relating to people, we need to simplify. Because we need each other. Something supernatural takes place when we're in community together and connecting together. So what I want to do today is I want to teach us how to kiss. Honey, come up here. No, I'm just kidding. How to keep it simple, kiss. How to keep it simple with people. How to kiss people. How to keep it simple with people. With people. With people. Because when it's all said and done, at the end of the day, all the stuff off, it's all about relating to God, keeping it simple and really close to God. There's all kinds of things that keep us from that, and keeping it simple, relating to people. And there's all kinds of things to keep us from that. So how do we kiss people? How do we keep it simple, relating to one another? I want to give you 4 or 5 points this morning, and the end of the service you're going to love. You ready? Number one, dismantle the hindrances. Hindrances like people say often, it's just too much pressure. It's just too hard to be in one of those connect groups. The people are just too hard to relate. You know, here's the thing. We're not putting performance on you. We're not saying you have to do this. I have to go to church and talk to people. I have to go to this connect group because everybody does that. And we're supposed to do this and enjoy it. How about this? Instead of it becoming law to us, we look at it as becoming life to us. It's something I look forward to. So we're going to just dismantle and tear down that argument that it's too hard. It's too difficult. And other things like, I don't fit in. Yes, you do. You're needed. I don't know anybody. Well, there's a basic desire in your heart to know people and to be known by people. I'm too tired. I don't have time. We need to make adjustments. And the one that's really big, a hindrance, is I just don't want to. And we want to just, Lord, help us by your Spirit to dismantle, just tear apart and start saying the right thing. That if we want to love life and see a good day, if we want to hold our tongue and not saying all these hindrance things, I'm too tired, I can't do this. We can relate to one another. And we will relate to one another. We will enter into this community of the Spirit and have deep-spirited friendships. Everybody say, I got it. Number two, don't make mountains out of molehills. Don't make little things into big things. Or don't be offended so easily. Or let go of offenses quickly. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 5. Settle matters quickly with your adversary. Do it while you're still together on the way. Another verse in James says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. Solve it now. Because the longer you allow an issue to go, the larger it becomes. What was a small thing can become a big thing. I remember when we were first married, brand new married couple. And I soon discovered that Tammy and I were different. Real different. Came home from work and I'm looking for my beautiful new bride. And I'd come in and I'd smell the food on the table. She'd made dinner. And I hear this bang, bang, bang in the kitchen. I walk in and say, hi, honey. Hi. Oh, how was it? Fine. The food's on the table. I said, good, let's go eat. No, you go right ahead. Well, don't you want to come and eat with me? No, I've got things to do. Just go ahead and eat. Would you? The food's on the table. It's been sitting there for half an hour. Just go eat it. And she'd walk off into the room, read a book. And I'm so confused because I don't know what I did. I'm so perfect. I'm so innocent. I don't have a clue what I could have done to offend my new bride. And so I couldn't eat. I'm frustrated. I'm hungry, you know, but forget the food. Go fix the problem. I go in the bedroom. Honey, can we talk? I don't want to talk. Well, we have to talk. Would you tell me what's wrong? And she finally, after about an hour of pleading and promising to take her shopping, things like that, she says, I made the meal at 5 when you said you'd be here. I had it looking perfect. I had it piping hot, and you didn't get here till 5:30. I said, well, honey, I was with my boss, and the meeting went 15 minutes over. I get in the car. I'm on my way home, and I don't know the freeway. There was an accident. I could not get here any earlier. She said, I don't care. She said, I make meals when I say I make meals, and I like it piping hot, and I like it now. And I think, well, okay, you know, a little molehill here is not a big deal. I'll fix it. Here's what we'll do. I got the way. We're going to fix this. No cell phones back in the caveman era. I tell you what we'll do. I'll call you from the office when I'm going to be 15 minutes from home, okay? So I'll be home. That way, it'll be perfect. She likes that. So it solved the problem. We made a big, giant mountain out of a molehill. So we reversed it, and we made it small. So, you know, the days would come, and I'd pick up the phone and call, and 15 minutes later, I go home. So any of those days when I said I'll be home in 15, and it was going longer, I just didn't go home. But we, you know, we've changed that. She didn't do it anymore. She stopped last week, and she promised me she's never going to do that again. But how many things do we take in life, in our marriage or relationships or even in a church setting, and, you know, we stumble over something because we all get offended and hurt. Everybody. Everyone does. But if we let it go, it complicates every other part of your life. Something that was meant to be small, we let it go longer and longer. Some of us are still offended at people who are dead and gone. Well, what do you do when you're in your relationship or friendship or your marriage and there's an offense and you feel like you're the one that's right? What do you do? Well, you do the right thing. You keep it simple. You go apologize anyway. Because being right is highly overrated. And it's too expensive. It's just too expensive. It costs too much. I want my life to be simple. And I want to enjoy my marriage, enjoy friends and people. And I don't want to let my thinking cause me to make small things into gigantic things and rob me of joy and fulfillment. Somebody say, I got it. All right, number three. Everybody say three. Ooh, this is big. Don't keep company with toxic people. Look at this verse. Can't say it any better. It is there. Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. You see, here's what happened. In relationships, we're affected by the people we spend time with. So if I spend time with people who are toxic and negative and frustrated and constantly speaking things and acting out in certain ways, it affects my life. It affects my day. It affects my attitude. It affects how I live and how I feel. They're complicated. It makes me feel complicated. But on the opposite, if I'm spending time with people who have just pure, simple hearts, love God, and speaking good things, doing their best to speak faith and be positive, then that motivates me. Have you noticed how that is? You can have a bad day and someone just breathes fresh life on you, makes you feel better. It affects you. It takes the complex and makes it simple. So spending time with positive, faith-filled people makes all the difference in the world. That's not an excuse to be rude to people who are hurting. That's not what we're saying. Wow. We care about hurting people. Wow. And we all go through seasons where we need to talk and let it out. But we're talking about people who have a lifestyle of being toxic wherever they go. So we need to choose wisely and have friends that have kind and tender and positive hearts. What this means is boundaries. Just have boundaries that protect us and from people who can bring us harm. This is really simple. Yeah. It's not complicated. It's meant to be simple so we can be simple. All right, let's look at number four. Number four is mind your own business. Why are you clapping? because I said the thing that you wanted someone here to hear. All right. Man. Mind your own business. Look at this scripture. It can't be any clearer. Make it your goal to live a quiet life minding your own business.
There it is.
You know, there's some of us that are really opinionated. If no one close to you, somewhere in this building, there are people that are opinionated. Opinionated people, you know, just always telling you what you should do and always having an opinion. And maybe if you're that kind of person, to make it less complex for you and other people, maybe just dial it down a little and to let other people speak and let other people say something and not have to be in control. In fact, there are a lot of people here, a person who might be a little controlling. And we've lived our life trying to tell people what to do and to control people and to make things work our way. Maybe we should lighten up. And maybe we should just say what we think or what we want and then just say, okay. Right. Maybe it would take off the complexity of relationships and make us all happier if we just take off heavy opinions and heavy control, heavy gossip. I had a grandma on my mom's side. Her name was Katie, and the whole community called her Mama Katie. She was everybody's mama. She probably stood about this tall, hunched over. She started a church that went for many decades, influenced lots of people. What an incredible guy to lead. I remember we had about 5,000 cousins, and we'd often come to Mama Katie's house, and she'd make this special breakfast for us. It was a kind of a biscuit in a skillet, and we called them hoe cakes. I don't know who made up that idea. And then she'd make this chocolate syrup homemade thing, and we called it sopping. We always wanted to go to Mama Katie's and have sopping and hoe cakes, and it was a big deal. And around the table, she's just a simple, uneducated lady, but godly, and she'd always make these incredible statements. I remember her saying something like this: I ain't going to talk about people, and I ain't worried about what people say about me. I'm just going to mind my own business. And man, watched her live to be 90. And no one ever, of the hundreds of people that knew her, no one could say anything evil about Mama Katie. Because she just had that, I got it figured out. I'll take care of what I got. I'm going to mind my own business. Let's take the last one. We're done with this part today. This is good. Apply the golden rule. You know what the golden rule is from the Bible? It's pretty well known. It's, you know, do unto others as you would have them do to you. Here's how it's stated in the Message Bible. Here is a simple, everybody say simple? A simple rule of thumb guide for behavior. Ask yourself what you want people to do for you, then grab the initiative and do it for them. If you add up all God's law and the prophets, this is what you get. You take the sum total of the teachings of God's laws, and it is this: be gracious to people. What you're expecting them to do for you, you do for them. Another thing about Tammy, when I first met her, I misunderstood her in a big way, because she was always saying nice things. I mean, overkill. Oh, you're so nice. Oh, you're so strong. Oh, you're such a great athlete. And oh, you're so wonderful. And she's saying it to everybody, everyone. And she's always giving gifts away. She'd be nice to bad people. I mean, she's just always giving. And now as I look back, I realize her upbringing was not all that positive for a long time. And of course, like anyone, you have a perspective of what you want your life to look like and how you'd like people to treat you. So I don't know if she did it knowingly or subconsciously. She did the opposite. She just went out to be gracious to everybody. Always. I don't know any greater giver I've ever met in my life than my wife.
That's right.
Always giving gifts. Always giving kind words. Overkill. In fact, we were shopping a few months ago. We went to this very expensive store. And handbags are thousands of dollars kind of a thing. And we're just looking. We're just strolling. God help me. And we're going through this place. And so I'm thinking to myself, I wonder if they have anything in this store that costs like a couple hundred dollars that I could, you know, get or something while we're on this trip. So I'm looking around. And I walked up to a sales lady. I said, how much is that bracelet right there? She goes, I don't know. Maybe $300. I don't know. Sorry I asked, you know. I said, well, I tried to get over it. And I said, okay, well, could you check? So she pulls it out, and like I'm really invading her time. But she looks, and she told me the price, $250. And she literally said it like that. I said, oh, okay. How about this one? Would you mind checking that? And she literally rolls her eyes. And this goes on for 5 or 7 minutes, and I'm kind of losing it. And so I smile real big and lean over to Tammy and said, I'm leaving. And so I, thank you. And I did pretty good. I did that. Thank you. And I walked off. And Tammy stays, and she keeps talking to the lady and asking her questions. And then she looks her right in the eye, and she says, are you okay? Is there anything wrong? And the lady burst into tears in this extravagant store. And she says, I don't know what I'm going to do. My father passed away. I've got my mom. I'm trying to take care of her. I live too far away across town. My work here won't give me time off. I don't know what I'm going to do. And Tammy says, well, I know God. God can help you, and he cares about you. Here's a lady been abusive verbally, not very respectful to us, and Tammy just pours right back into her. Immediately, her countenance changed. She's waving to me. We're going to pray for you, and of course, I come over. We can pray for you. I'm the man of God. This is the woman of God. Man of God, woman of God. I'm here. Now, I have learned a long time ago, send Tammy in front of me anywhere I go. And I'm not kidding. We've learned as family, we send Tammy before us, and there's always some blessing ahead. 100% of the time. And so here we are now looking for the bracelet, and I'm frustrated with this lady. And here's Tammy practicing the golden rule. What could have been a complicated, frustrating day, and I probably would have talked a little bit too much about the lady. Forget, I hate going in the studio. Why did we go in that? Instead of that, we walked out and saying, man, God use us to touch a lady. And I bought the bracelet. I bought the bracelet. A couple $100, man. It's amazing. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. The point of today is, again, it's simple. It's never meant to be complicated. And what we don't want to do is we don't want our life to get so complicated we can't be in great relationships. And there's a chemistry, there's an empowerment, maybe even something divine that takes place when we're in life-giving relationships with godly people. But our life gets so complicated at times we can't get into the relationships, and the relationships get so complicated, we can't enjoy life. It goes back and forth. And hear the Holy Spirit speaking to our church. Keep it simple. Just kiss. Just keep it simple. Even when relationships with people, just learn these simple scriptural lessons. I don't know about you. I want to enjoy life. I want to love my life. And I want to laugh more. I want to live more. The only way to do that in our complex world is we must find ways to simplify, even in the realm of how we relate to other humans.